I'm John Krall. Today on No Limits, we're going to talk about service clubs. We're going to talk about what they do, how they got started, and who belongs to them. We're going to talk about how they choose their service projects and why they select the ones they do. My guest will be Stan Soderstrom of Kiwanis International, Matt Burnett of Rotary Club of Indianapolis, and Pat Henninger of Lions Club. Please join the conversation. Our phone number is 866-476-3881. Email is nolimits@wfyi.org. Twitter is WFYI. Facebook is No Limits WFYI. Now, this news.
No Limits is made possible by your membership and by Apparatus IT Security, identifying network vulnerabilities to help keep companies secure. More information on security assessments for businesses at apparatus.net. And by WGU Indiana, Indiana's 8th State University. Information about earning a degree from WGU, an accredited online nonprofit university, is available at indiana.wgu.edu.
Welcome to No Limits. I am John Krall, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, publisher of thestatehousefile.com, and your host. We are talking about service clubs today. And if you'd like to join the conversation, please give us a call at 866-476-3881. Send us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org. Facebook is No Limits WFYI, and Twitter is WFYI. Well, my guests, obviously, are all representatives of service clubs and can tell us a little bit about the way they function. I'd like to introduce first to the program Stan Soderstrom of Kiwanis International. Stan, welcome to the show.
Thank you, John. Very happy to be here.
Matt Burnett, who is with the Rotary Club of Indianapolis. Boy, my tongue is really tied this morning. Rotary. Matt, welcome to the program.
Thank you, John.
It's good to have you here.
Appreciate it.
Pat Henninger of Lions Club.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Well, I'm going to start first because I think that there are a lot of misperceptions about what service clubs are. And let's knock that down a little bit. I mean, I think there are two. One, it's just an excuse for people to get together and sit and talk and socialize. At the other end of the spectrum is the sort of Shriners Club. You know, it's wild parties and all of that. And I realize, Shriners out there, you've done an awful lot to change that perception. I don't want you being calling me and being angry about it. But, you know, the cliche is out there. So could we start a little bit? Could you just tell me, Stan, you know, what Kiwanis does, what its focus is?
Well, Kiwanis is one of several service organizations. Our primary focus is on children and on youth. Interestingly enough, we're going to be 100 years old next year, and we're mm-hmm. going to celebrate that right here in Indianapolis. We have clubs in all parts of the world. Probably what we do best is sponsor youth in the schools, the key clubs in the high schools, the Builders Club in the middle schools, and other levels of elementary school, colleges, and universities. But our service clubs are like the others, that they're men and women who come together to provide positive impact in their community. And some of the benefits are networking, fellowship, fun, engagement in the community. All of those things come as part of the service club experience, and especially the Kiwanis experience.
Matt, tell me a little bit about Rotary.
Thanks, John. Rotary, it's a volunteer organization. There's 1.2 million Rotarians around the world. That's about 32,000 clubs in over 200 countries. And the club I represent, the Rotary Club of Indianapolis, is one of the top 20 largest in the world. So our club's a little bit unique. There's a lot of Rotary clubs where there's five members. But our club's kind of special, in my opinion.
How many members do you guys have?
We have just under 400 members.
Okay. So, and what's the largest one? I'm sorry. I know I'm diverting you.
No,
here,
I think Birmingham, Alabama has 500 or 600 ish. Oklahoma City has a large club. We like all service clubs, and I'm sure we're going to discuss it. Membership is an issue, and at one point our club was, I think, 600 members. But we're trying our best. The big thing we're working on, and again, I represent the Rotary Club of Indianapolis, is we are now leading the charge on something called Indy Do Day. which it's grown out of the Lilly Day of Service. And it's a way for us to engage new members, attract new members, and kind of keep ourselves relevant in today's Indianapolis.
Pat, tell me a little bit about Lions Club.
Certainly. Thank you. I think there's really a lot in common with the three organizations, as Stan and Matt both indicated. Lions Clubs are set up really as individual organizations, clubs where people support their own communities. But what's important about that is the individual club looks at their local community, but also those clubs roll up to district and international levels where we also consider the community, the world community in a broader sense. I think a lot of folks are familiar with Lions from their work with the blind and visually impaired, and that is really driven by a challenge from Helen Keller in 1925 made directly to a Lions Club international conference where she challenged Lions to become Knights for the Blind in the crusade against darkness. And you'll see that play out at the international level and at a lot of local levels. For my own club, the Washington Township Lions Club, we happen to meet at the Indiana School for the Blind and Visually Impaired. So a lot of our work is with that group. But also we support other local organizations and partner with other organizations like Special Olympics, the North Central High School French Honor Society, and an animal education organization named Animalia.
Let me, and this is a basic question, but what's the difference between your organizations? I mean, you know, why should someone become a member? And I'm going to give you each a shot at this. Why should someone become a member of Lions as opposed to Kiwanis as opposed to Rotary? I'll stay with you. I'll give you first crack at that, Pat.
Sure. Well, you know, I don't know that it's necessarily a matter of, you know,
pick one. Yeah, I'm not trying to push
best.
You guys into, you right, know, right. into the pit so that you're fighting against each other.
No,
but.
All of the organizations obviously have something fantastic to offer. And I think really for somebody to find the best fit, what makes sense is for them to look at the clubs that are in their area and see where they focus and how that aligns with somebody's individual interests.
But are there distinctions between them? Or, you know, that, I mean, I'm asking as someone who works in the not-for-profit world, would it make sense for all of you to combine if membership is an issue and then just have slightly different emphases? Stan?
You know, I think that sometimes it's valid to compare us to maybe denominations of the Christian faith. So if I'm on the outside looking in, I'm looking at the Presbyterians and the Baptists and the Methodists and saying, gosh, they all look alike to me. But if I'm on the inside, I know the differences. And, yeah, our doctrine might be a little different, but the theology of our three organizations are very similar. We're trying to help people in our communities. What's unique about it is, as Pat described, every club is unique and autonomous unto itself and can make its own decisions of its activities within the community in which it exists. So if you live in any part of Indianapolis, for instance, you're probably going to find yourself a part of a club that is closest to your likes, far from your dislikes. You're going to find people there that you like and projects and activities supported by the club that maybe are meaningful to you. So you're going to be able to join a group that is personalized to what you want to be a part of. And I think that's kind of what makes us different at the local level. Globally, a lot of things in common. We've evolved a lot in the same way over the last 30 years. Each of our organizations has taken on global service initiatives in the world health community and made some huge impact globally. So whether you care about eyesight issues or polio or tetanus or malaria or measles or any of those kinds of things, each one of us has bitten off parts of those in the last several decades and made some big impact there. So, you know, we have different personality attributes, but it boils down to we are making a huge difference and we're still very relevant.
Matt, why? I mean,
the best for last, right?
Yeah. Why would I be a Rotarian as opposed to a Kiwanian? Did I get that right?
You did.
Or a Lion?
A Lion.
Yeah, we have a friendly rivalry with the Kiwanians. And again, I can just basically discuss my club, which is the Rotary Club of Indianapolis. And it's a really special, unique club. And again, I'll leave with the Indy Due Day charge that we're working on. We've had two committee meetings so far, and over 50 Rotarians attended each meeting. So we're just an enthusiastic. We're a very, very diverse club. I'm going to be the president in July. I'm 39 years old. A lot of people picture these clubs as, you know, a bunch of old guys wearing funny hats or something.
You're the one ticking the Shriners off.
Yeah, we are a young, diverse, really active, exciting club.
We're talking about service clubs here on No Limits. If you would like to join the conversation, please give us a call at 866-476-3881. Email is nolimits@wfyi.org. Twitter is WFYI, and Facebook is No Limits WFYI. Well, let's talk a little bit about who joins. I mean, Matt, I'm going to come back to you because you made the point of, you know, saying, well, the perception that you're only 39 years old and you're going to be, or soon to be 39?
I'm 39 and I'm president in July.
Okay, and you're president in July, that it's not, you know, older guys getting together and all of that. Who's in your membership? I mean, what sort of people sort of come to Rotary, and maybe the differences in the organizations come out of those profiles too?
Well, you know, again, we have 400 members. We run the gamut, obviously. We've got a lot of older members who have been have had perfect attendance for 49 years, crazy things like that. And then we've got, you know, there's just, it's just a diverse club overall. And, you know, there are CEOs down to, you know, typical employees, but it's just a good group of exciting people that want to do good for the world. And our motto is very simple. It's service above self. And so whatever form of service you want to get involved in, I was looking this morning, we have 50 different committees within our club. So whatever you may be interested in, we certainly can help you find that.
What are some of those committees?
I've got a list. I was, you know, it comes.
Yeah,
down.
I don't think we need all 50.
No,
but give us a range.
You know, from the golf group to the bowling group to, of course, the Indie Do Day. There's an environment and beautification committee. There's a history committee, member engagement. Really, anything you want. And as far as members, kind of our most well-known member is Senator Lugar. His father was a member. His brother is a member. His nephew's a member. So he's been, last year our club turned 100, and he was named the Rotarian of the Century for our club. So he's kind of a special relationship with him for sure.
Stan, who becomes a Kiwanian?
Well, once again, very similar. The profile for all of our organizations in this country especially is an average age in the 50s. So what you see is a lot of times it's empty nesters, people with you know, a little extra time, a little extra money that want to make a difference in their community, find a great home here and in any of our clubs. But especially we tend to get a lot of people who want to be involved in or have been involved in our work with our youth programs, especially in the high schools. Our key clubs is probably the fastest growing part of our organization, and we tend to draw a lot of key club alumni to come back and join our clubs.
What's the profile for the Lions Club, Pat?
Well, I think certain attributes have been hit by our other two guests here as well, but my club in particular, we have membership people ranging in age from their early 20s up through. We had a gentleman that celebrated.
How large is your club, I guess I should say?
I'm sorry, say again?
How large is your club?
Our club is 40 people, I believe, a little bit more than 40 people on the active roster. But we have a gentleman up that just celebrated his 92nd birthday, I believe it was, and gave a presentation about that. Our age as well biases closer to 50, but we have folks that get involved much younger. I've been in Lions myself. I'm also 39 years old, Matt,
okay.
And I've been in Lions for better part of 15 years, I believe. Now, within our own organization, what draws people to that, really it depends on what they're looking for, because we contribute to the community in a number of different ways. Our work is predominantly related hands-on through to the Indiana School for the Blind and Visually Impaired, where we meet. But we interact with the community through our fundraisers, which involves a corn stand at the Indiana State Fair every year and Christmas tree sales. But then we also involve some of the organizations that I mentioned earlier as they participate with us on our projects and us on theirs. So there's really a cooperation between those organizations.
And we've gotten a question from a listener who didn't want to go on the air. Are women involved? Is membership open now, regardless of gender? Stan, you're nodding your head.
Yeah, absolutely.
Was it always that way?
No, traditionally, all of our organizations began as all male. And, you know, it took a lot of decades for our predecessors to see the light.
When did it change for Kiwanis?
It changed for all of our organizations in the 1980s.
1980s? Yeah. So really almost 60 years after Helen Keller came in and challenged, you waited and said, okay, we'll start including women at that point. We are talking about service clubs here on No Limits. You can join the conversation by calling us at 866-476-3881. You can send an email to nolimits@wfyi.org. Facebook is No Limits WFYI. Twitter is WFYI. My guests are Stan Soderstrom of Kiwanis International, Matt Burnett of Rotary Club of Indianapolis, and Pat Henniger of Lions Club. I'm John Kroll. You're listening to No Limits. Please stay with us. Welcome back to No Limits. I am John Kroll, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, publisher of thestatehousefile.com, and your host. We are talking about service clubs today on No Limits. My guests are Stan Soderstrom of Kiwanis International, Matt Burnett of Rotary Club of Indianapolis, and Pat Henniger of Lions Club. We've talked about the membership and all of that. I'd like to talk a little bit about you all have you know, you all said nice things about each other and said, really, we don't compete. But it also strikes me in listening, you have different, slightly different service focuses, too, or foci, I guess they would be. And that might be one of the ways that people differentiate. Could you talk a bit, and I'm going to start with Matt on this one, about how you choose, you know, the service initiatives, how the club goes about it, what the priorities are, if there are parameters to that.
Sure. I'll start at the top. Rotary International's big cause for years has been ending polio around the world, and they will eradicate it off the planet. And in the history of doing that, Rotarians have raised over $850 million and immunized over 2.5 billion children around the world. So that's on the bigger picture. I mentioned we have committees. One of our committees is called the World Service Committee, and they were just speaking on Tuesday about it. One of our members climbed Mount Kilimanjaro last year and saw a need in Tanzania, and they have started a program just themselves through the Rotary Club over there where they're bringing in food and water. And so, you know, you can get involved on the ending polio, or you can get involved in your own service project anywhere you want around the world, because again, Rotary's in over 200 countries.
Stan, how does Kiwanis make its
well sections? I mentioned the key clubs and our youth programs, and we actually have service leadership programs from elementary school all the way through college, university, as well as we now offer clubs that are modeled on the Kiwanis Club model for adults who live with disabilities called Action Club, and it's a very unique program. But those are the unique programs that we offer through Kiwanis that are unique just to Kiwanis. But I think the other thing to keep in mind here is if you take Marion County and all the surrounding counties, we have 32 different Kiwanis clubs, and each one of those is community-based, and each one of those has its own projects and service activities tied to the community. So once again, while what ties them together is probably participation in the activities like Key Club's sponsorship or Builders Club in the middle school sponsorship, every one of them then has their own unique things in that community, most of which are tied through the schools, through youth and children.
But you've got a major initiative, right?
We do. And just as Matt mentioned, Rotary's work with polio and the Polio Plus project, we took on a similar project in the 1990s for iodine deficiency disorders in partnership with UNICEF. And after about $100-some million raised, have virtually eradicated that from the face of the planet. And right now we have taken on maternal and neonatal tetanus. And once again, we're trying to raise $110 million right now that will eliminate maternal deaths and deaths of newborns from tetanus in about 39 remaining nations. So those kinds of local to global transformational projects are what Kiwanis is using today to not only lift itself up locally, but to say, hey, we want to be a part of the global community as well.
Pat.
So as with the others, the Lions Clubs International has had major health initiatives as well, and most prominent amongst those is its campaign Site First and campaign Site First 2, also raising hundreds of millions of dollars literally to eradicate the scourge of trachoma or river blindness. And that's really at the international level. But I think we had all mentioned before that we operate at multiple different levels of community. So within the state of Indiana, there's also six state projects that the Indiana Lions all contribute to. And then down at each local level, folks are surveying and responding to need there as well.
We are talking about service clubs here on No Limits. And if you'd like to join the conversation, you can do so by calling us at 866-476-3881. I know we've gotten calls from a couple of listeners who are upset about references to the Shriners. I want to emphasize that we were using them, and it, to some degree it is to the power of the Shriners image, as, you know, a cliche or a misperception of what service clubs are about. We meant no insult to the Shriners. They do very good work. And if I did offer offense, I apologize. Again, if you would like to join the conversation, please do so by calling us at 866-476-3881. Jacob, welcome to the program.
Thank you. I just had a quick question, and I can take it off air, or take the answer off air. How would you join one of these clubs? I don't know if that was asked, or maybe I missed that, but if you could just reiterate that, that would be great.
You know, Jacob, I have not asked that. Sometimes the most basic questions are the best ones. Thank you very much for keeping me on my toes. Well, how would one go about joining Lions? We'll just take it around the table.
Sure. Jacob, great question. Thank you so much for asking. Membership really is a critical issue for all three organizations, I think, and I'm getting some heads nodding at me here. For Lions Club specifically, you can actually go to the international website, which is lionsclubs.org, and there is a section there where you can search for clubs in your area.
Go ahead and give that to them again. People don't run around holding pencils in their hands while they listen to the show.
Lionsclubs.org. Lionsclubs.org. So you can find information about local clubs there. So that's broken down geographically. And, of course, if you know somebody in the organization, you could certainly talk to them about that. My own club, and here comes another URL, has a website at WashingtonTownshipLions.org.
Go ahead and give it again.
WashingtonTownshipLions.org. Spelled the way it sounds.
Okay. And let me ask real quickly, I'm going to give each of you, is there a cost to joining? What are the membership expectations?
Sure. So there is a Alliance Code of Ethics, but you know, I don't think that would really surprise anybody in terms of what that looks like. It's a pretty obvious set of ethics. Now, with the actual cost involved, we do have club fees and international fees. And I apologize, I don't know the numbers off the top of my head, but I do believe it is under $100 a year. So it's not terribly expensive.
Stan,
yeah,
how does one become a member of Kiwanis?
Very similar for Kiwanis. Kiwanis.org, O-R-G, Kiwanis.org. Click on Find a Club, and it'll show you any one of the 32 in this area. Most people are always welcome to visit any of the clubs. What we also want to point out is that Kiwanis is the hometown organization here for Central Indiana.
And our
headquarters is on the north side.
Okay.
And 1-800-Kiwanis, 1-800-Kiwanis, and we can put you in touch with the club. So, every club has its own separate dues structure, and some are more expensive than others. Some include a meal. Some do not. And, I think the best thing to do is visit some of these clubs. Find out if you like them. And if so, come back and work with them for a while and then join.
So give me a low end at what the cost would be and a high end.
Low end is probably going to be $100 a year, something like that, maybe $125.
Okay.
High end is probably several hundred dollars, and that may include some meals. Interestingly enough, Matt mentioned this before, the Indianapolis Rotary Club is one of the largest in the world, as is the Indianapolis Kiwanis Club. And Birmingham also is the site of our largest club. So we must be in cities here that are really, really good for service clubs.
Matt, Rotary, how does one become a Rotarian?
Again, I would give the advice to visit a club. There's lots of Rotary clubs around. Our club meets downtown at the Scottish Rite Cathedral Tuesdays at noon. You can visit our website, which is indyrotary.org. As far as dues, I believe our dues are about $500 a year. That's what it costs. But again, with the activities we have, with the committees we have, it's a worthy investment.
Is that one of the big differences between your clubs? Is the cost, the expectation? Because, you know, my math skills being what they are, it's 4 to 5 times more expensive to be a Rotarian than to be a Kiwanian.
Yeah, I don't know that for sure. And again, every club is probably different because we're such a large club. And you know, again, I'm not sure all the expenses, but that's about what it costs for our club.
And what are the you mentioned that your club, the Rotary Club of Indianapolis, meets every Tuesday at the Scottish Rite. What are the attendance expectations?
That's a good question. Historically, there are attendance requirements, but don't tell anyone. Our club is not that strict.
I was going to say, this is not the place to keep a secret. But.
Right. No, as we try to attract younger members, the expectation of coming to lunch every Tuesday, that's a tough issue for people. So we tell people, get involved in a community, come to the Tuesday lunch as much as you can, but really find your passion and get involved in that, and then it will all come together.
We're talking about service clubs here on No Limits. If you'd like to join the conversation, shoot us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org, or you can give us a call at 866-476-3881. Glenn, welcome to the program.
Hi, greetings. I'm a long-term member of your station, and I really support what they do in the community.
By the way, my
wife happens, since one person has mentioned about working on hearing and what have you, my wife volunteers over at the school for that issue. Mm. Anyway, I'm part of a coalition of the Sierra Club and the NAACP working on environmental justice issues. And, you know, this is something that's a critical problem in our city, where people, be they black, white, brown, are affected by environmental issues that impact their health and their living. And my question is, what are these three groups doing in that critical area?
Thanks very much for the call and the question, Glenn. We'll try to get an answer for you. Okay, I'll start with Stan on that one.
Well, we do have Kiwanis clubs that are more interested in some of those issues than others. Once again, every club has the ability to choose its own projects and activities unique to its own community. But I will tell you that I know that those are important issues, especially to some of our clubs. We find that with their younger members, especially the high school and college students, you find that they are very engaged and tuned into those kinds of things and trying to make differences on their high school campuses and their university campuses.
Are there certain issues that these clubs stay away from because they're perceived to be too controversial or too polarizing? I'll throw that one to Pat first.
You know, I think that's going to vary club to club. Generally speaking, though, what I would say about Lions Clubs International is we aren't a religious-affiliated organization. So for the most part, we tend to steer clear of religious or political causes, and we're focused really more on community as a whole. So not exclusionary, but inclusionary.
Matt, are there issues that Rotary will stay away from?
Not that I'm aware of. Again, one of our big focuses is clean water now around the world. And, you know, Stan, I would tell you, if you join one of these organizations, you can start your own project. And with the infrastructure we have behind you, you can actually make a difference.
We're talking about service clubs here on No Limits. Kelly, welcome to the program.
Hi, how are you?
Doing fine. What's on your mind?
I wanted to know how each one of the clubs handles women as memberships. I know recently the Lions Club allowed women to join in the capacity as a member, and I didn't know about the other two.
Thanks very much for the call and the question, Kelly. Yes, Pat, since you were referenced there.
Sure. So as Stan mentioned previously, all of the clubs, I believe, around somewhere in the 1980s have accepted women as members. So really, we don't treat people of any different age, sex, race, or religion different to one another when it comes to membership in terms of how we evaluate or include them in a club. Now, what I would say about Lions Clubs International, generally speaking, is that historically there was a Lioness Club prior to, or I should say established prior to the acceptance of women into Lions Clubs proper. And some of those clubs still do exist today. So some folks prefer that environment, and that's perfectly fine. And likewise, we also have a youth club called Leo's Club. So we do stratify a little bit, but it's strictly by choice.
Let me take the question. I mean, how did opening up the membership change the clubs over time? I'll go with Stan.
Well, I'll tell you what immediately happened was the personalities of a lot of the clubs changed. So these old boys clubs that used to get together and tell questionable jokes and, you know, have a good time.
And the three martini lunches
and
all of
that changed. Yeah. And it probably needed to change. And I will tell you that it's changed for the good. Mm-hmm. Now, the way it's reflected today is that our clubs are very, very much involved in activities that support young men and young women. And the selection by our organization to take on maternal and neonatal tetanus as our global service, that's women and children, I think is reflective of the fact that the female members of our organization are trying to make a difference for other women in other parts of the world.
Matt, how did Rotary change when it opened up and stopped being a good old boys thing?
I don't know exactly. The 10 years I've been a member, there's obviously been women around. I can say that 3 out of our 5 officers are women. 2 of our last recent presidents have been women. So our membership chair is a woman. So we, we're just looking for good quality people that want to do well in the world and believe in service above self.
Now, you go ahead, Stan.
And if I can add, one of the really exciting things is that Kiwanis is going to lead the way, and Rotary's right next to us there, and that we will have the first female president of our worldwide organization year after next, and Rotary is right behind us in that. So I think that shows a difference in how our
and a different cultural.
Sure.
Now, all 3 of you have mentioned that membership is a challenge now. What accounts for that? Matt, I'll go to you first.
Well, like I mentioned earlier, the every Tuesday lunch is a hurdle. I just think young people today, you know, they're just busier. I don't know what it is, but it's difficult to get people to in their mind, wrap around once a week every Tuesday. So that's our hurdle. But getting involved in the community, doing great things, just get involved in a committee and it'll come.
Are there people that you really would like to have involved in one of these groups who are particularly resistant to, you know, the demographic that is harder to break down, say, than any other, Stan?
Well, the admittedly, the toughest group to get involved at the club level are the people who are young parents. They don't have the time. They're active in school activities and activities maybe around church and neighborhood and community.
Yeah, if you got an hour, it's going to be at the Little League ball
field. It is. You're going to be coaching your kids or supporting your kids and doing those kinds of things. So getting them involved at the level that Matt just described is difficult. It really is, and we get that. That's probably why we're better with the slightly older demographic. Working on ways to bring new opportunities for community engagement to that population. We're opening young professionals clubs in a lot of communities, ones that are less restrictive to time and money constraints, and finding some success there. So I think, we're evolving at the same time.
Are there breakdowns? We've talked about gender an awful lot, but race or religious affiliation in terms of these groups that reflect a changing time, too? I'll start with you, Pat.
Not to the best of my knowledge. I mean, every club is going to have its own individual makeup that to some extent is going to reflect the overall composition of their local community in terms of demographics. As an international organization, as I'm sure is true for the other 2 organizations as well, it's really just going to mirror the region in which you're interacting.
We're talking about service clubs here on No Limits. You can join the conversation by calling us at 866-476-3881. You can send an email to nolimits@wfyi.org. Twitter is WFYI, and Facebook is No Limits WFYI. Well, in terms of, real quickly, how you make an impact, well, I'll tell you what, why don't we hold that thought until after the break? We are talking about service clubs here on No Limits. My guests are Stan Soderstrom of Kiwanis International, Matt Burnett, Rotary Club of Indianapolis, and Pat Henniger of Lions Club. I am John Kroll. You're listening to No Limits. Please stay with us. Welcome back to No Limits. I am John Kroll, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, publisher of thestatehousefile.com, and your host. We are talking today about service clubs, what they do, and how to become involved. My guests are Stan Soderstrom of Kiwanis International, Matt Burnett of Rotary Club of Indianapolis, and Pat Henniger of the Lions Club. Benjamin, welcome to the program.
Hello. I have a very limited budget, and I was wondering if there were service programs that were available that would be more open to people who $100 a month, I'm sorry, $100 a year sounds like an exorbitant amount.
Thanks very much for the call and the question, Benjamin. Well, we'll start. Are there ways, say you don't have that $100, is there a way to get involved? Stan, you're the one nodding your head.
Increasingly... our clubs have been granted the ability to have flexibility in the styles and types of memberships they offer. More and more clubs are offering associate memberships or affiliate memberships or memberships or maybe service memberships, and they can create those themselves. And we have clubs that are now saying, you know what, if you don't have the money to be a part of, but you want to be a part of what we're doing, you know, we'll let you make a contribution in terms of service hours.
Yeah, it's sort of a sweat equity kind of approach.
Sure it is. Sure it is. Because, you know, what we want is community engagement. We want people to join us who want to be a part of that.
We've also gotten an email question from a listener. And if you would like to join the conversation by way of email, you can do so by sending an email to nolimits@wfyi.org. This is from a listener named Mark who says, listening now about service clubs, just a comment regarding a large local service club not included in the discussion. Are you aware of the Sertoma Club of Broad Ripple? And that Sertoma, it says, stands for Service to Mankind, chartered in 1958 and now with 101 members. The club elected to raise funds for their sponsored charities by conducting Las Vegas-style casino parties as entertainment for businesses and associations in the Indianapolis area. The club has raised well over $2 million for local nonprofits. The club's mission is to raise funds to provide support for charitable and educational organizations with the goal of improving lives in central Indiana. I've been a member for almost 2 years now, and I'm hoping you can mention this club as well. Happy to do so, and I want to make it clear we've invited the Lions Club, Kiwanis, and Rotary here as a representative sample of clubs. We don't consider it to be exhaustive. We understand that there are a lot of other clubs out there doing good work. Susan, welcome to the program.
Hello. My name is Susan Leonard, and I am the district trainer for the Central Indiana District of Rotary International, and we'll be working with Matt shortly. I wanted to make a couple of comments. Matt's club is very large, and because of that, they have very large dues. Mm-hmm. Clubs do vary dramatically in the amount of dues that are charged, so I don't want anybody to be put off by that amount. Also, there was a question about how do you find clubs. In Rotary, you go to www.rotary.org, and at the top of
go
the
ahead,
website.
Go ahead, Susan, give the URL again.
www.rotary.org.
Okay.
And at the top of the homepage, there is a club locator. You just put in the name of the town that you're in or that's closest to you, and you will get information on how to contact the club in that area.
Great. Well, thank you very much for the call and for the information, Susan.
Thank you.
Certainly. So let me ask a basic question here. Even if I live in Indianapolis, but I'm comfortable with, a Rotary or a Kiwanis or a Lions Club that's down in Greenwood or, you know, up in Fishers, I mean, am I bound by, is it like Little League? Am I bound by geographic area? Or, you know, do I get to go to the club where I want to go and I feel I belong a little more? Pat, I'll go with you.
You can certainly join, at least within Lions, any club that fits your own purposes in terms of commute and interest. I myself lived in the Washington Township area when I first moved to Indianapolis, and actually I don't live in that region anymore, and I live much closer to several other clubs, but just by virtue of my own interests and my personal history, have chosen to affiliate where I am.
And Matt, is that a way to pick up on Susan's point? Is that a way to lower your cost exposure if there's a cheaper way to get involved?
There's all kinds of Rotary clubs, large, small. I live in Carmel. I work downtown, so I'm a member of the downtown club. But of course, anywhere you want. Another interesting thing, there's an app I have, a club locator, and you can make up meetings or at least visit other Rotary clubs. So wherever I may be in the world, I can type in the city and it will show me where the Rotary clubs are meeting and when, and gives you an opportunity to learn from other clubs around the world.
So like if we were, how would I go about, say I am, you know, in Hammond, Indiana, and I want to find a Rotary club. How do I go, or a Kiwanis, how do I go about that, Stan?
Well, once again, the same practice is we've made it very available online. You can either download our app. You know, we all have the mobile apps now. Yes, you go to the website and click on Find a Club, and it's the same.
That's
process.
A little different from the 1950s, too.
It is. And you know, the ability to visit any club is pretty much open now. The doors are open. We welcome guests. Anybody's welcome to any of our meetings.
So is there ever a situation where these clubs collaborate? You know, where you look at and say, I mean, I realize, and I'd actually like to talk a little bit after this about where all the money comes from, because I hear $100 million initiatives, in several places. But are there times when you say, oh, boy, this is a huge challenge. It needs to be met. I mean, it's a big thing, but it's probably too big for us even if we do our heaviest lift ever. Maybe, say, it starts with Kiwanis. Maybe if we partner with Rotary or partner with Lions, we could get it done. Does that ever happen? I'll start with Stan.
Yeah, it sure does, and I can point to a lot of communities around North America where that happens, and it's that mentality of we're all in this together, and especially in smaller towns where you maybe have just two clubs. They come together to build a park or to build a playground or to sponsor the Little League or, you know, whatever the need is, and that's when it works best, is realizing that we're all in this together. We're not competing. And we can have fun doing this at the same time and build upon the relationship base that we have, you know, not only in a club but with other clubs.
So, Matt, where does that $100 million come from for these things? I mean, even at $500 a pop, that's a heavy lift.
Rotary International is huge, and there's a campaign every Rotarian every year where every Rotarian is hopeful to give to the Rotary International Foundation. And we happen to have a good relationship with the Gates Foundation. Bill Gates' father is a Rotarian in the Seattle Club. That's another one of the world's largest clubs. And so with the End Polio Now campaign, we got a matching grant from the Gates Foundation, which was obviously huge. But on a local level, I mentioned our kind of friendly rivalry with the Kiwanis Club of Indianapolis. For the Salvation Army, we have a traveling trophy, which whoever raises more money between the Rotarians and the Kiwanians – each year the trophy goes back and forth regarding the Salvation Army.
Oh, well, that's an interesting concept. Where does the money come from for the Lions?
Much the same as the other organizations. The Lions clubs are actually the world's largest service organization with 46,000 clubs worldwide and 1.35 million members. So obviously, there's the membership dues that you mentioned and matching grants, bequests, but each club typically has its own local fundraiser as well that they undertake where those monies go into a specific projects-related fund, so not used for any administrative purposes. So we're very distinct in terms of how we run things.
So they set up in the way a lot of membership not-for-profits are. You've got the membership dues, which aren't tax deductible, and then this whole foundation thing that's set up as part of it so that you can make larger contributions that are tax deductible, Stan.
Yeah, each one of us has our own foundation, and those foundations are pretty much driving these global service initiatives. So whether it's grassroots fundraising by clubs or individual donors or large-scale donors, that's what how we're coming together at the global community level. And I think that's important to understand, and I want to touch on that just one more time, is that within the global health community, all three of these organizations have made huge inroads. Polio, side issues, measles, iodine deficiency disorders, tetanus, malaria. All of those, the needle has been moved, and those things will be gone for future generations because these three organizations took them on, did the grassroots fundraising, brought partners together in forms of foundations and governments and other not-for-profits, and have raised over $1 billion over the last 20, 25 years just to fight these diseases. And future generations will not know what those diseases are because these three organizations have done that.
We are talking about service clubs here on No Limits. You can join the conversation by calling us at 866-476-3881. Sharon, welcome to the program.
Oh, yes. Hi. Thank you.
Certainly. What's on your mind?
Well, I wanted to commend the gentleman that you have on your program now. This is kind of a dovetail tie-in. You're talking about global health. About 25 years ago, the six major service organizations, including Rotary, Lions, Kiwanis, and Sertoma, helped to develop the Ruth Lilly Center for Health Education, a non-for-profit health ed center at 21st and Capitol. And I had the pleasure of working with several of the persons involved in those service clubs. So I wanted to commend them, and it's kind of a unique opportunity for all these service organizations to come together for community health and health education in Indianapolis.
Thank you very much for the call, Sharon. Take care. Well, let me ask this. I mean, what is the contact like then between all of these organizations? I mean, do you have sort of a regular roundtable of Kiwanian, Rotarian, Lions, Leaders, Sertoma, and the other organizations where everybody gets together and says sort of, this is what we're doing, and, you know, these are common challenges, common needs? Matt, I'll throw that one to you. Since it sounds like you're moving into a leadership position and would be involved in those roundtables if they occur.
The answer for me is really no. On the local level, I'm not doing that, but I think Stan could probably address, you know, he mentioned earlier, he knows well the executive director of Rotary International, so I'm not dealing on a day-to-day basis, but I think they certainly pass ideas off each other.
Stan.
Yeah, and I'm executive director of Kiwanis International and the Kiwanis International Foundation. So my counterparts at both Lions and Rotary are people that I stay in touch with. But we have a group of all the service organizations, of 15, 18 of them that get together once a year. Interestingly enough, last November, this city, Indianapolis, hosted the gathering of those leaders. And the elected officers and the staff leaders come together and compare common problems, share best practices, and look at opportunities to work together on different things.
We're talking about service clubs here on No Limits. Christina, welcome to the program.
Hi, thank you.
Certainly.
I think your guests have already started to talk about this, but as a young person myself, I'm interested in how each of these organizations is helping the global community. If they could speak a little more about any global initiatives that they have going on, I'd appreciate it.
Great. Thank you very much for the call and the question. Well, I'll give each of you a crack at that. I'll start with Pat.
Sure. So I mentioned before campaign Site First and Site First 2. That's really that was geared towards the eradication of trachoma, which was more of a developing world challenge. Not our immediate past international president, but the one before that also had an initiative that he had started that is related to the environment that was a global tree planting initiative. So to kind of tie back to that prior environmental comment as well, every new international president has a major global initiative that they undertake that all of the clubs participate in some capacity to, be that in terms of service or dollars.
Stan.
Yeah, and I mentioned the Kiwanis efforts for iodine deficiency disorders and now maternal and neonatal tetanus. But what all of these have done in every one of these cases is create partnerships between our organizations and, as you've heard, Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, U.S. Agency for International Development, UNICEF, Center for Disease Control, a host of other governmental and non-governmental organizations that we are impacting mostly global health, but other issues around the world. And once again, it's a transformation that we're seeing from local community to a global community. And it's something that I think is very attractive to younger members, especially teens and university-age students. They see how we're making an impact globally.
Is that, in terms of choosing the sort of global initiatives, the really large scale, because you guys all have tackled big problems here. In terms of the process, is one of the criteria figuring out, you know, who would get interested in this? Is another one possibly, and I'll throw this Matt's direction, you know, there are some problems that are incredibly huge. Do you look at it and say, okay, we could have an impact here? You know, are there problems you say, no, we're not going to deal with because we really can't have an impact? Matt.
I mean, the big picture stuff is coming to us from Rotary International. Mm-hmm. That's out of our control. But again, what we can control, we had a member who used to live in Jamaica. He now lives in Indianapolis. So we've teamed up with his old club in Jamaica to do projects over there. I mentioned earlier one of our members was in Kenya and has paired up with a club in Kenya. So there's incredible opportunities around the world to get involved. But for our club right now, our focus is on this Indy Do Day. There's lots of problems in the world, but, you know, we like to, as best we can, help around here, and that's kind of our main focus right now.
We've gotten a couple of email questions from listeners that I'm going to synthesize, asking if each of the organizations would welcome or accept openly gay members. Stan, I'll start with you.
Yeah, absolutely. I can speak to the fact that I know that we have members of all demographic backgrounds, including that one, in many of our clubs today. Not a problem. We welcome anybody who wants to join us.
Pat?
I concur.
Okay, and Matt?
Yeah, we're completely open. We're non-political in any race or creed, or very open.
I'm going to reverse the question. Are there any people you don't want to be members of your club? Are there ever times that you tell people, you know, this really isn't for you? I'll start with Pat.
Yeah, certainly. I think it's a matter of understanding what that background is, though. We don't go looking for reasons to exclude people. But if, for example, somebody were on a sex offender registry, because we do a lot of work with the School for the Blind and Visually Impaired, that's somebody that we would probably not necessarily want to involve in our organization. But I think for the most part, those rules are going to be fairly common sense.
Stan.
Yeah, very similarly, because of all of our work in the schools, we now have mandatory background checks for a lot of our members if you're working with youth programs. If you can't pass a criminal background check, you probably don't need to be part of our clubs.
Okay, Matt.
Yeah, we have a process. Our board votes on every new member, but it'd be very rare that it wouldn't work out, or you know, something would just be controversial or something like that.
We've got just a little bit of time left, so I'm going to give everybody a shot. If you want to become a Lions, how do you go about it?
So again, just either go to lionsclubs.org, again, lionsclubs.org, and you can locate a club in your area. And for our club, WashingtonTownshipLions.org.
Okay, and Stan.
Yeah, Kiwanis.org or 1-800-KIWANIS, and call us right here on the north side. We'll be glad to talk to you.
That'll work, and you get the last word, Matt.
Sure. Our website, rotary.org, for the international site, any club, anywhere you are. My specific club, IndyRotary.org.
And that will have to be the last word. I would like to thank my guests, Stan Soderstrom, Matt Burnett, and Pat Henniger. I am John Kroll. You've been listening to No Limits. Thank you for joining us.
No Limits is a production of 90.1 WFYI Public Radio, Indianapolis. Producer, Sharon Alseth. Interactive Media Coordinator, Melissa Davis. Technical Producer, Jeanette Rhodes. And Board Engineer, Don Hibschweiler. We invite you to join us each week for No Limits, made available through IPBS, Indiana's public broadcasting stations.